And welcome back to All Things Whiskey Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Outcault. Today, very special experience. We are recording in the barrel warehouse of Nashville Barrel Company, joined by co-founders James Davenport and Michael Hines. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be here, Mike. Thank you for coming by.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. This is an incredible experience just being here. It's my first time out in Nashville. And maybe just tell us a little bit about where we're at right now.
Yeah. Well, we're actually in the upstairs of our original warehouse as we speak, which is a lot of fun because this place has changed since we've been here from the beginning. Originally, we only had one building on this property. Now we have three. We have a brand new warehouse behind where we're at as we speak. That's where production, bottling, everything happens back there, which it all used to happen here. But yeah, we're in the upstairs. It's actually a nice day here in Tennessee.
Beautiful day.
And as you can tell, it's actually a little warmer up here. It's not even hot outside, but this is what the barrels go through. So anyway,
sure.
Long story short, you know, I'm feeling some of what this barrel deals with all the time.
It might be a little bit of the 130 proof whiskey that we're drinking too. Heat and heat.
That could be a part of it, but it doesn't drink that. Actually, fun story. When you first tasted this, you didn't think it was that hot, did you?
Nope, not at all. I think that's a fun thing about some of the Nashville Barrel Company stuff that I've tried is it drinks well under its proof. We did through the Insane Corn Posse, a 7-year Indiana pick, and it was 120 proof. It's been called the most crushable 120 proof whiskey by almost everybody that's tried it.
I believe that. I believe it. They're dangerous. Like, it's dangerous.
Uh-huh. And I think we're seeing that here with the sample that we're trying here. It's 129 proof, almost 130.
129.6.
You want to talk a little bit about this particular expression that we're trying?
Yeah, I sure can. This actually is something we bottled today. It's for a gentleman up in Rochester, New York. He's got a private group, Rock Elite, but he actually called this Rock Lex. It's actually one from that same run that the barrel you're talking about that you guys did came from, the low rye MGP, so 75 corn, 21 rye, 4 malt of barley at barrel proof. Kelvin Cooperage on all of these that run. And I feel like that actually shows a lot more, and that's where we're getting a lot of what we taste, which 70% comes from the barrel. But Kelvin, it's one of my favorite cooperages.
Okay. And from what I heard here, too, this gentleman picks tobacco, leathery, forward whiskeys.
He does. He's got a line now, but we're bottling today. After the one we're tasting, the one being bottled as we speak, is a BDE number 5. And so that's Big Dip Energy.
Big Dip Energy.
Dip. And it's more tobacco, leather forward, you know, heavy on those notes. And actually, you know, before we end this, I'll grab one off the line, and that way you can taste and see what I'm talking about, because it's a lot different from what you're tasting here.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mr. Michael just walked in here. So, oh, we got the
boss.
The boss, the team boss. Mascot. So you ran, Mike Hines walked in, Michael Hines. Do you go by Mike or Michael?
Usually Mike.
Okay, yeah. People ask me all the time, and I'm like, if you get close enough to one of those things, I'll probably respond.
It starts with an M, we're good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so Mike Hines back. James Davenport, you just ran and grabbed another bottle off the line. No label, no nothing. BDE5 is this one. So this is the group that's doing these leather, tobacco-forward expressions. I mean, do you want to try this one? We'll taste a little bit of it.
It's not going to drink itself, so yes, let's definitely do that. Now, this is actually from that same run of the first sample that you had.
Sure.
Same everything with the exception of the barrel itself.
Okay.
Now, little lower proof on this guy, around 125.
Okay.
On BDE5.
That's 125 proof-ish.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, and this one's right at 130, 129.6.
Nose is beautiful. I think you get that kind of iconic leather, but you get a lot of cherry on it, too. I think there's some nice bubblegum notes as well. I mean, it smells incredible. Although I'm not surprised, because, again, we did a pick with y'all, and it was unbelievable. So, I mean, we'll talk a little bit more about that one. We affectionately call that one Yellow Bee.
Heard a little bit about that.
Once again, trying that, that doesn't drink anywhere near 125. And the fruit notes coming through, that's incredible. That's a hell of a barrel.
kind of fun.
I can see why they picked it.
Yeah, that's complex. It's got layers on it.
Yeah. So we're here in Nashville. We're sitting in your original warehouse upstairs. Got great whiskey. Two co-founders, Nashville Barrel Company. Maybe tell me a little bit about the story and how you all got involved in doing this. Who wants to take it?
Since we're both just jumping at it, I'll start it off. You know, most people I've heard the story. If you're following Nashville Barrel or know anything about us, you know, we always talk about, you know, charity and giving back was a big cornerstone of how NBC got started, and that's how James and I met. You know, a lot of times people don't really understand that even beyond that, it was almost doing what we're doing now. It was sitting around and just drinking whiskey with friends. You know, it's kind of the crutch of everything that we've done. It's the giving back to the community, but we're from the community and we're still in the community. So we met though, you know, charity work. James ran a store. I was doing charity work, and we kind of got together.
Okay. Very cool. So when did that happen? How did you all get connected? How long have you been doing this now?
It was 2017-ish on the time frame. I mean, we bought our first barrels in 2018. Don't have an exact time. Maybe you do, Mike.
You know,
I'm not sure.
You know, people ask us this all the time. We probably should timeline this at one point, because this is not a surprise question. But we've not really dug deep into the specific day, because everything that's done around here has been organic. That's a good question though.
Yeah, I think it's funny the things that happen when you sit around drinking whiskey with people.
You can end up in jail, or you can end up the co-founders of a successful whiskey business.
Or this happens and you don't plan it. Like,
yeah.
None of this was planned originally, by any means.
And you were doing charity picks for the F Cancer Foundation, Fuck Cancer Foundation.
Yeah, so we've raised several million dollars for different cancer research projects. F Cancer's one, LLS, American Heart Association, American Cancer Association. You know, we kind of spread around our love, and now we're doing a lot of vet stuff, a lot of Boys in Blue, and a lot of just special ops.
Okay. And I was talking to James before we started recording. He's Navy. Were you in service as well?
I was not.
Okay.
I was not. So, yeah, so whenever we can give back to the guys that help keep us free, it's always rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a huge whiskey following, too, in Veterans Whiskey Society and a lot of Colorado companies, too. 10th Mountain Whiskey is a lot of veteran-run, veteran-owned. So I'm all about giving back to the vets here as well, too. Now, how did you get connected with the Cancer Foundation?
You know, back in, I don't know, I'm bad at dates. So in the 2000s,
sure.
Sometime in the 2000s. I was actually headed to Wild Turkey to do a Russell's Reserve pick. And a good friend of mine was going to join me on the pick. And, you know, he had a cancer scare for the second time. And this was the night before, so he informed me that, you know, he would not be joining me on the pick. And at that time, at my previous job, someone I was really close with, you know, got cancer again. So it was kind of a bad week, just, you know, and cancer was something that was affecting me deeply at the time. And at that point, I realized and just made the kind of the decision to start using whiskey to raise money for cancer. So it started off with the Russell's Reserve was the original F Cancer. And then 2 and 2.5 and 3 F Cancers were with James at Russell's. And then we've done Wilderness Trail. We've done Traverse City. We've done Willett. We've done Four Roses a few times.
NBC.
Yeah, we've done Nashville Barrel, of course.
Sure.
We've only done one. Here at NBC.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually we have, you know, fun fact, no one even knows it yet, but we have another one coming out probably in the next month or two.
Okay.
So keep an eye out.
Cool. And where are those going to be offered and sold?
You know, they'll probably go on Buy Spirits Direct. It's, you know, you can visit that from the Nashville Barrel Company website or follow us on social. It won't be a Nashville Barrel item, but it'll definitely be, you know, Nashville Barrel might repost it and tag because there's a lot of followers that really love it.
Sure. And I'm sure that's going to be a phenomenal pick, too. The single barrel program here, all the barrels I've tried have all been amazing.
Yeah, we'll have a Nashville Barrel Company, F Cancer, out again this year as well. So,
okay.
Always fun when you can use whiskey to do good in the world.
Yeah, love that. Let me ask. Well, I don't know. I've got some stories and I've got questions. Maybe let's talk about the connection to F Cancer. And, you know, we had a gentleman in our group. We run this large cost shipping group. The goal is just to get great whiskey out to people and eliminate secondary. So it's everything at cost. Get good whiskey to the people. One of my buddies, Matt, was sitting in your tasting room talking to you guys, and they said, hey, you should talk to Mike. And sure enough, we got connected through that. We are friends with Kelly O'Shea, too, from when we talked to Blue Note here on the podcast, which was a lot of fun. Kind of one of those small world after all type of situations. And raising money for cancer is something that I'm very passionate about, too. I lost my stepsister to cancer in 2021.
Oh, man. Sorry.
And it was a really tough, terrible time for the family. But the whiskey community was incredible. You know, I thought to myself, look, I can sit here and we can do nothing. And my parents were saying, look, this is, it's tough. All you can do is pray at this point. And I said, we can do more, right? And so I went into my collection and I'm like, here's five bottles, right? Here's six sample sets, right? All of this money goes to raise money for her treatment. And people came out of everywhere to start offering bottles. Super rare, hard to get stuff. Samples, experiences, everything they could to raise money for her cause. And it was an amazing thing to see the community that was built around that.
The Burma community is a force.
Absolutely. And there's been so many people that have been impacted by cancer, had cancer scares, or have lost loved ones to it. It's a terrible, cruel disease. But the whiskey community has done some amazing things to rally around those people and to help. And so through that, we wound up getting connected, and I felt very passionate about the cause when I learned more about the fundraising that you've done through Nashville Barrel Company. And we were fortunate enough to do a pick for our club. So thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for the opportunity to be here and talk more about the whiskey.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you coming in. It's, you know, under different circumstances sometimes, but, you know, everything happens for a reason. And,
sure.
So, you know, there's always a silver lining, you know, not to get too far down that rabbit hole, but you know, it's, they say everything happens for a reason. And you know, a story about F Cancer is, 3 weeks ago a gentleman on Facebook reached out to me and said, hey, you know, a loved one been diagnosed with cancer, I you know, would you happen to have any, you know, F cancers from your previous picks laying around? I'd love to open up the bottle. And I was like, you know, I think all I've got left is a couple in my library, but let me check. I kind of forgot, you know, there was a lot of messages coming and going, and about 48 hours later, a buddy of mine, Zeke, shoots me a message out of nowhere and says, hey, let me know if you have a home for this bottle. I'd like to donate it. And I opened it up, and it was one of my old F cancer picks. It was super random, but so I connected the two, and Zeke just gave him the bottle. But it was weird, surreal how, you know, out of two messages, all within 48 hours, we were able to link up, and the gentleman was able to get the bottle free of charge from Zeke and, you know, open it up and really toast him to good times.
Yeah, love that story. And we did the pick with you guys too. James, I talked to you and you said, I'm going to send you some fun stuff. And we got six samples from you guys. Three were 9-year Kentucky. Three were 7-year Indiana bourbons. All six of them were absolutely phenomenal whiskeys. It was a super fun tasting experience. And my wife, she's not here right now. She was a little ill, so she couldn't join us for the podcast, but she organized everything into a blind tasting for us. It was semi-blind. So we had green labeled A, B, and C. Those wound up being the older Kentuckys. We had yellow A, B, and C, which wound up being the 7-year Indianas. And super fun tasting experience. In the end, we tried everything, and I think everybody was blown away by all the samples. And we got to yellow A, and everybody goes, yeah, holy shit, this is like one of the best whiskeys I've ever had. And then we tried yellow B, and everybody said again, holy shit, I don't know how, but this is even better than the best whiskey that we thought we had ever had until we got to this point. We were all laughing. We went around the table to do kind of the selection committee, and unanimously 7 out of 7 people said yellow B.
Oh, wow.
And so we kind of ran with it there, and we made this like a holographic sticker, and it said N, and there was a B, C, and like honeycomb in the background. So we had to clarify. Everybody kept asking me how long this was finished in a honey cask. And I said, it wasn't. This is 7-year Indiana bourbon. That's it. There's no finish. There's no nothing. So I do want to ask you, you know, people tried this and they kept saying, this is one of the best whiskeys I've ever had, if not the best whiskey I've ever had, right? 7-year, 120 proof from Nashville Barrel Company. I just have to say, how? How'd you do it? And I'm like, I'm wondering, did you put like MSG or something in the barrel? getting people addicted?
No. On that, we don't do anything besides let the barrels work and speak for themselves. We bought that product when it was 3 years old.
Okay.
That product, if it was still in the barrel, would turn 8 in May. And, you know, at 3 years old, it showed really well. And that's why we purchased and bought what we did when we did.
Sure.
And, you know, it surprised us at 5 because we thought we were going to batch it originally. But now, you know, at 5 years old, when they first come in and we're in our own space, you know, tasting these barrels off the truck, they don't become batch anymore. They become single barrels. So, you know, originally they're supposed to be batches, but now they're our main single barrel horse, and for good reason, because they're some of the best whiskey you'll try out of these 7-year-old barrels.
Yeah.
Now, James, correct me if I'm wrong, but at 5, those were the youngest whiskey we'd actually ever bottled.
We've never bottled anything under 5 years old.
And,
okay.
And actually, those were the only 5s, right?
Those were the very first 5s. There was only one other run of 5-year-olds. It was a 1500 from Kentucky.
That's right.
So there's only 2 runs we've ever bottled at 5 years old, and that's just because they showed and they were ready to be bottled. We don't just bottle young. There's no point.
Yeah.
You can get young whiskey anywhere.
Sure.
You can't get good whiskey everywhere.
Yeah. People ask me all the time if I'm going to start my own brand, and I said, I don't think I have the patience for it.
We should put that on a shirt, James. That's a good slogan. We should write that down.
Talk to the people in marketing.
Yeah, I like that. Where's Kelly O'Shea at?
Hey, Kelly. Yeah. We got an idea.
That's marketing.
And so we were tasting through kind of like the 3,000 run here. The Yellow Bee was 3401 was the barrel. Absolutely phenomenal. What's next for Nashville Barrel Company? Because you're aging stocks. You're running this single barrel program. What do you guys want to do with the brand?
Keep putting out good whiskey.
Yeah, love that.
That's what we do. And that's what we want to do. I mean,
sure.
From my side, in my day-to-day, Mike has a lot more to say on that. But, you know, good product is what you'll find when you get our stuff.
Sure.
You know, we pride ourselves on trying to be as authentic with our whiskey. We don't try to get too creative with blends or finishes. I can tell you that, you know, we've always kind of let this business take us where it wants to go, though. So, you know, we're just kind of holding on for the ride. You know, just whatever the market wants, I think it'll find itself.
So you started by being expert barrel pickers, picking the best whiskeys. How'd you get into that?
It depends on how who you talk to, if they call us experts or not. But a little bit of my past. I drank like a sailor right out of high school. I joined the Navy. Was on a submarine for 5 years, so I drank to get to the end result. I didn't really care what it tasted like.
Okay.
But getting out of the Navy, the government doesn't keep giving you money. It's weird how that works. But
sure.
Yeah. Realized I wasn't still getting a paycheck, so I had to get a job. I was in between trying to figure out what I wanted to do, go to college, you know, use a GI Bill, be an electrical engineer, do something like that. But I needed beer money,
you know,
something to in between fill space. So I got a part-time job as a night closer at a retail liquor store. Love that so much. Ended up working into general manager, running a couple stores here in Nashville, and then opening own store. So, you know, whiskey just kind of happened. I drank for the end result initially, didn't really taste, but learned to taste through retail. And that's my quick story.
Okay. Yeah, I love a good origin story on how you guys got into this. And that's the James story. You drank like a sailor, and then you were a sailor.
All of the above. Yes, sir. That happened.
And Mike, do you want to talk about your origins getting into this as well?
I guess you could say that I have always had, you know, not an addictive personality, but more of a collectible personality.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the my origin is that, know, being here from Nashville, Jack Daniels was the whiskey you drank in high school and college, and heck, I'll drink single barrels of that now.
Yeah, I think they suffer a little bit from the I drank too much of it in college. I think you find that with Beam and Wild Turkey stuff, right? And then you revisit it as an adult and you go, yeah, holy shit, they're making some good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Jack single barrels, the Barrel Proof Rye and the bourbon are two great products that that I definitely would recommend. So at one time I actually became like the fourth largest Jack Daniels collector in the United States.
Really?
Yeah, I would just drive around and buy collections and, you know, estate sales. And at one time I had several thousand bottles, and kind of when you get to the end of that, you go, well, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
So I would start going to liquor stores, and I would walk into any liquor store and I would buy a bottle that I had never tried before. And when I found something I liked, I'd go back and buy a lot of it. So my collection right now is still pretty impressive. You know, there's a lot of Old Smooth Ambler, Old Scouts, and Old Weller 12, and, you know, a lot of bottles. You know, Willett became a fast favorite a long time ago with their single barrel proof offerings.
Sure.
So after several thousand bottles of whiskey, and just you'd start sharing it because you couldn't drink it fast enough.
Yeah. And you had the bottles, now you're into barrels.
Yeah. I don't know what's next.
Larger format.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, yeah, so really just kind of going down the rabbit hole of wanting to try everything.
Sure. And then you got into, you two connected. How did that happen?
Through retail, like Mike said earlier.
Yeah, okay.
Doing the fuck cancer stuff and all that. You know, we crossed paths numerous times and tastings and doing all of that. And then, you know, one day he came into my store and, you know, talked, tasted, and now we're here.
Okay. And let's talk about the whiskey that you have here and that you're aging. It looks like you do kind of core expressions, right? You've got the 7-year Indiana. You've got the 9-year Kentuckys. I know you do a rye as well.
We've got there's a lot more than just those. I mean, those are two of the big horses for
okay.
sure. And then the rye, we launched the brand off of rye whiskey. And that run was 7 years old. It turned 11 just a month ago in February.
Okay.
Which is a lot of fun for us because we still have some of those original barrels left. They're going to turn 12, 13, 14 plus years old. But if it's ready to be bottled, we're not going to just keep it in there for an age statement either.
Yeah.
But they're still showing well. So we're going to keep doing that.
And that rye, can you tell me more about that? Is it 95.5?
95.5. That's the only rye we've ever bottled, with the exception of one Canadian rye that was just done here recently, a 19-year-old Canadian rye whiskey.
Okay. Cool. And you launched the brand off of the rye then?
7-year-old 95.5, yes, sir.
Very cool.
Yeah, I think for like for the first year or 18 months, that's all we sold was rye, which is pretty non-traditional.
Yeah.
To launch a whiskey brand with a rye.
Okay. Must have been some good rye.
We think so. the judges did too.
San Francisco can say that. We don't have to say anything.
Yeah, let the whiskey speak for itself. And sure. Tell me about the other workhorses that you have here too then.
Well, so that run is now 11. I mean, our old rye, people ask me all the time, you know, what's your favorite? And that's a super loaded question. Everything's situational. But I had to figure out a response because I get it all the time. And I figured it out. And it's very simple. It's the truth. You know, if I'm dying in 10 minutes, what am I going to drink?
Yeah.
I'm going to go get one of my old ryes. There's no question. If I get one pour, I'm going to go get one of my old ryes.
Okay.
When we have our shift beer, if you will, at the end of the day or the end of the week, we'll, you know, have a toast or a cheers for the good week or the hard week. And he'll always pour up a rye. So, you know, that's not lip service. He's a rye guy.
Yeah. A rye guy. Our podcast co-host just had a baby, so he can't be here either.
Congratulations.
Thank you. He's not a rye guy, but I think he could be persuaded by some Nashville Barrel Company rye if he tried it.
Oh, we could change him. We do that. We do that daily.
So those are getting into pretty big age statements there up in that 13, 14 year.
Well, this year we have bourbon and rye that'll be 12. Bottled as 12 everything this year, so you know that's right around the corner. We do have older stuff, rum or Canadian, but bourbon or rye whiskey, you know, 12 years old is where we're at on our top end, right?
Okay.
Now, which is more than most. Yeah. And we have more old stock than young stock. We don't have hardly any young stock.
Yeah, we don't have really any barrels under 6 years old.
There's nothing here that is under six. Yeah, it's turning seven this year. Like, there's no youngish.
Yeah, and when we did the pick, everything was right at the bourbon was the Indiana was right at 6 years and just turned seven, mm-hmm. and the Kentucky was right at eight and it just turned nine, and those were some phenomenal samples that we tried.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we have to get you back in here for another one.
Yeah, I would love to do another pick with y'all, especially if the money goes to a good cause too.
Yeah, we should talk about that and see. Obviously, we can do some of the proceeds, and we should take that offline.
Yeah, absolutely. Be happy to connect. I'm here now.
Like, we could connect right now.
Right now, live
on
the podcast.
I'll be right back. I'm going to go pull some samples.
Pause real quick. we pre-sold the barrel from Nashville Barrel Company in 2 hours. It was an incredible experience.
Love hearing that.
And we went in and we said, we have an opportunity to do this with Nashville Barrel Company. I need your support. And the group blew it up. It was an amazing thing. That's the Insane Corn Posse.
Yep.
Ah, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
We could do the next pick, magnets. How do they work, right?
Yeah. So, House of Corns.
ICP.
Yeah.
ICP. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Super fun group. Great people in there. A lot of people have been impacted by cancer, too, so they felt very connected to the cause, and I was happy to champion that and spear that initiative. And then... you guys dropped a pallet of whiskey off on my doorstep.
well, not us, but...
Do you still have the whole pallet?
We moved all the bottles. They found homes. Yeah, instantly. And then again... Uh-oh, the boss.
Where is the boss, lady?
I'll just let her out. Yeah, like, no worries.
Something's going on. Boss knows.
All right, so the boss is a smart dog, and she's outside now. Tell me a little bit about
that. She had a meeting. She had to go.
There you go. Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about the dog. It's one of your mascots here, right?
Oh, no. I wouldn't even say a mascot. She is the boss. She is the face of the brand. If you go to our website, you have to tell her you're 21 years old to get onto the website. She hears something she knows, and she lets us know.
Okay. Very nice. We're big dog people, too. We have three dogs right now. Thank you, Spencer, patron of the program, watching the dogs. Couldn't have been out in Nashville without that. Man, what a cool experience coming out here and hanging out. Let me ask you, what is your favorite part about the job? It's one of my new favorite questions to ask everybody that we interview and talk to on this show.
I really enjoy that question because I want to tell you that I have a set answer, but I don't. We're a small company still. You know, there's nine of us total in the company between two locations. That's including Mike, Kelly, and myself.
Okay.
So, you know, we're still small. So what I do daily, or at least what people think I do daily, is taste whiskey and do all that, which I do. But I also am the electrician. I'm the janitor. I clean more than most, I would say. Actually, I can go ahead and tell you straight up, I clean more than anybody here.
Yeah.
Like, so I cleaned the toilets yesterday.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I mean, it's part of it. It's a business. Somebody's got to do it. If we're busy out front, I'm not going to ask somebody to come away from a customer, you know? So, what I like about my job, is not knowing. It's good and bad. But I don't know what I'm going to do depending on the day.
Yeah.
Some days I come in and last week, random day, I walked out front and talked to a group that was out front doing a tasting. Next thing you know, we're in the room doing a single barrel pick. Didn't plan for it. Didn't lead up into it. Did not plan any of it. So, yeah. You know, I love the spontaneity of what it is, because if something needs to be done, you know, Mike and I are going to figure out how to get it done. And then I typically, Mike has the idea that, you know, of how to, a lot of times. And then, I produce.
Cool. I love that answer. It's you don't know. Really?
I don't.
In short, what you're going to do and what the day looks like. And like you said, there's people that do know, but the spontaneity of your job leads you to wearing a lot of different hats.
Exactly. You never know who's going to walk through that door. Like, I know I've got a barrel pick on this day at this time. There could be somebody that's in here, you know, 20 minutes before my barrel pick that's talking about doing a barrel. And, you know, I schedule them for after the next barrel pick. You know, I mean, that happens.
Sure.
So, you know, you just never know. But I mean, hanging up banners to electrician, to plumber, to, you know, tasting whiskey or blending.
Yeah. To sitting on all things whiskey podcast.
Yeah. Or doing podcasts. You know, you've actually got me in one spot longer than I've been in one spot in a long time.
I appreciate the time.
I like to work, you know.
Yeah.
It's what I do.
Did you ever watch Dexter on HBO or Showtime when that
so
was out?
So when I was on a submarine in 2005, 2010, that was a huge show. So yes, I watched it when it first came out back in the day.
Yeah, that was me rolling into Nashville as pulling a Sergeant Doak. Surprise.
Yeah. So the answer is yes. Very big fan of Dexter.
Yeah, appreciate the time to sit down and drink some really good whiskey and talk Nashville Barrel Company. This is awesome. Man, I feel so privileged to do that pick. And Yellow Bee has made, I mean, it's in running for Whiskey of the Year on this show and for the people that tried it and enjoyed it. So that was such a cool thing.
I love hearing that, and thank you for the support. You know, like I said, it's in the bottle. It's what we do. And, you know, whenever you're ready to do another one, let me know, because I'm pretty sure I know a guy that can get some fun barrels in the room for you.
Sure. And looking around here too, you know, we've got these core expressions, but you've got some agave stuff. And, you know, when we were talking earlier, we got the R Bourbon barrel right there. That's our buddy Take, Jay West. He's been on the show. I love chatting with Jay. One day I'm going to hang out with him. We're like ships passing through the night. We always miss each other just barely there. What else are you doing here with like some agave and some other stuff?
Yeah, so coming from retail, there's a lot of things that I always wanted to do that I wasn't able to do in retail because you just sell the finished product there, you know, whatever comes in. Now I can change, you know, manipulate whatever. When I say manipulate, barrel age. So right now I've got over 2-year-old barrel aged agave, which people know about. I haven't bottled anything that has hit 2 yet. The oldest I've bottled is 19 months. But I also have 2-year-old gin.
Okay.
Barrel-aged
gin?
Barrel-aged gin.
Cool.
So that's something a lot of fun, but it's never been put out, never been bottled, and I plan to probably towards the end of the summer. It's going to be Navy proof, being a sailor.
Love that.
Navy. I won't give too many more details from that.
Yeah.
Besides...
Navy proof? Is there a submarine proof? You ramp it up even higher.
Well, this is going to be in that realm. Higher than any gin you've probably tried.
Submarines go under, so maybe if you lowered your proof, you could call it submarine proof. You got Navy proof up at the top, submarine proof at the, you know.
I mean, you could call it pressure proof too, because pressure's a lot more the lower you get in the ocean as well.
Let me ask you this: have you been hung over on a submarine?
Yes.
What was that experience like?
So I probably, luckily, now my submarine is decommissioned as of last year. I will say this. I was part of the navigation team piloting in and out of ports. When you are able to get out of the tube in a different port, you live your life because you know you're going to be in that tube for a month, month and a half, depending on what you're doing. So when we get to port, we're pretty much letting out a bunch of caged animals is what happens. And we just went out, you know, had a really good time back then.
That give you an experience to see some places in the world?
I saw a lot. I will say this. If I could do it all again, I would have not enjoyed myself as much on the consumption side and actually enjoyed myself on the living side a little more. But then again, it's some of the best times of my life, and I would not change it for the world or trade any of it for that.
So being hungover on a submarine is like being whiskey in a barrel.
I'm trying to beat around that because I still don't want to get anybody in trouble that's still in. That was a part of my thing. But anyway, the answer is yes, hungover, part of navigation team.
I remember an old Reddit post, and it's, what's the laziest thing you've ever seen somebody do? And it was a captain on a Navy boat was eating breakfast, and the sunlight was hitting him in the eyes. So he called the deck to change the course of the ship so the sun wouldn't hit him in the eyes anymore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so it's funny. That type of stuff happens. I mean, if we're doing mission or something, then that doesn't. But if we're doing local ops or testing new equipment, something like that, off of Pearl Harbor, I was out of Pearl, we did a swim call. So you get to get out of the submarine on the surface and swim. Captain was fishing off the back of the boat. And he actually shot skeet off the back of the boat too.
Okay.
We had a little plastic hand thrower, uh-huh, just like you can, yep, get at Walmart.
I've got one. Yeah, the orange one. You fling the discs out.
So submarines, we don't have a lot of space, but we had that. Captain brought a fold out chair, a rod and reel, and he had skeet and a thrower. He shot skeet and fished off the back of the boat.
Do you ever catch anything?
I'll be honest, I was trying to swim and just enjoy my time out of the tube. Yep. I never saw him catch anything. I don't care. As long as he was happy, we were all happy.
Yeah, captain's happy. Yeah. You guys are happy.
Exactly. Happy captain, happy life. There, if that go, makes sense, that should be a thing.
Let's back up. So you've got agave and you've got gin. Mm-hmm. And agave spirit, much like bourbon, is a tequila is a federally regulated term. So you can't call it tequila unless, yes, you're, sir, making it in Mexico. But you can make agave spirits.
Correct.
And then you've got a barrel-aged gin coming out.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to call those? Do you have names for them?
Yeah. The agave, we've actually already been putting out. And that's just our barrel-aged agave. That's what it says right on the front.
And what's the age on the agave?
So the oldest we bottle is 19 months. I've got some now over 2 years old.
And what, an añejo tequila has to be 16 months or something like that?
To be an añejo, you got to be right at that year point.
11 okay.
months to a year. So these are... We could call it añejo, but we don't call it tequila. What we have is 100% Blue Weber agave distilled in Jalisco, Mexico. It meets all the requirements to be a tequila, with the exception of us aging and bottling it here. If it was bottled in Mexico, it would be a tequila.
Yep.
But we don't. We're in Tennessee. We're in Nashville. Barrel aging here, so we call it just our barrel-aged agave.
What kind of barrels do you use for the gin and the agave spirits?
So for both of those, I use fresh dump, either bourbon, rye, or rum barrels. Now, that's mainly for agave. I haven't put any gin into an ex-rum barrel yet. Mainly bourbon and rye has been on the gin side, but I have agave down in rum.
Okay.
And so that it's fresh dump. So when I dump it out back within, 30 minutes to an hour is when I reintroduce the spirit back into.
Sure. And with the gin, are you going kind of juniper heavy? Are you going kind of orange forward? What's the plan with that?
It's actually from MGP, you can create your own gin.
Oh, cool.
So it's a thing that I kind of did. And I went more like citrus forward instead of juniper forward. I will be 100% honest with you. I'm not a gin drinker.
Okay.
I don't go order gin, cocktails or anything like that. I will drink one, but I wouldn't say it's something I strive to get when I go to the bar. But I've had some barrel-aged gin. When I was in retail, I had a 7-year-old barrel-aged gin out of Texas. It was a 158-proof bottle. Blinded, it looked like whiskey. You wouldn't know what it was, uh-huh, blinded. It didn't scream juniper, didn't punch you in that.
158-proof?
158-proof. The people never bottled. They had never bottled one at proof. They asked me 3 times before it was bottled if I was sure that I wanted it at proof. And I said I didn't stutter the last 2 uh-huh times. But yes.
Sir, I was in the Navy. I want my gin Navy proof. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, sir. So,
pressure proof.
Where...
I think that's a term. I think we got to coin that one.
I kind of like that. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm coming from. The experiences from retail and dealing with that. But of course, got to have a Navy gin if I'm going to do gin. We're just playing with stuff. Stuff I've wanted to do in retail for a long time that was never able to do. I can do it now. And, it just takes time. Everything's about time because you can't rush anything.
Yep.
When I say you can't. There's people that try. You can stave stuff. You can chunk stuff. You can you can take pieces of wood and put in a barrel and try to get more out of it. And I'm not saying you're not, because it's more surface to wood area, but it's not the original barrel that you have.
Yeah. Colorado whiskey gets a lot of hate. I think unwarranted, especially with some of the brands that are coming out now, when you got Laws and Stranahan's getting up over 10, 12 years. Laws has it right in their barrel room, in their distillery. There are no shortcuts, right? It's that time that you're not, you've got 7-year, 9-year whiskeys that are phenomenal. It's because you're letting it age appropriately. You're letting the work, the barrel put the work in to make that phenomenal spirit here too.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're not speeding anything up. I mean, it wasn't sped up in the old days. Why should it be now?
Sure.
It's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, people are trying to find ways to do that. We had a barrel and chemistry science expert, Dr. Tom Collins, on the podcast to talk about the impacts that the barrel has, and a little bit of a conversation around why this happens. Is there a way to speed this up? And really the answer is no, nobody's figured it out yet. There's companies that are trying.
You can heat cycle. I mean, there's a ton of things. Like I said, you can stave stuff, but I mean, if you're going to make bourbon the way bourbon was originally made, you make it, put it in a barrel, sit and wait.
Are you cycling barrels? Are you doing anything with aging process, just letting them sit?
So I wouldn't say I cycle. I move things based on necessity. If I got to get to something, I'll move something else to get to it. But I do place stuff strategically.
Yeah.
If I think stuff needs some more heat, I'll throw it up here.
Yeah.
Or put it up top. So the answer to that is yes, I strategically put stuff, but I'm not cycling anything.
And it seems like there's some barrels and runs that are super sought after, right? I saw you did a pick of a 7-year the other day. It was the Heinz Davenport. And what was the third business owner again?
Casey. So the other one, the one that came out that you're talking about is Heinz Davenport Simpson.
Which is
Lauren Simpson. He's not an owner or co-founder, but he did all the Sox releases.
Oh, cool.
He did all that with us. And he actually now, Lauren, is a part of the team.
Okay, great. Cool to hear that. What I was asking, too, and getting at is, like, are there honey barrels here? Or do you know which ones they are that you're placing around strategically, too, if you're looking for those great barrels?
Yes and yes.
Love to hear that.
I am the person here that knows where everything is, and the answer is yes.
And again, when we say honey barrels, not honey cask finished, although you do some finishing too.
Correct. Yeah, we do. I don't hang my hat on it when I say that. You know, like whiskey for whiskey. You can put lipstick on a pig as much as you want.
Still a pig.
Still a pig. So, you know, I do a few here and there, and we put them out, but that's not something you won't come here and find, you know, 200 barrels of a bunch of different finishes laying down. There's four main ones. I've only bottled three finishes so far: honey, maple, and cognac.
Okay.
And that's all I've done so far. And
cool.
I've got a couple more down the line, but I wouldn't say I'm looking forward to them. I sound really unexcited about a new product. And I feel like it's going to be good. It's just, I'm a purist and I like whiskey for whiskey. But I think it'll be what people are looking for when they're looking for those type of finishes. It should be along those lines.
I think that's the make of a really great product, is when you, if it ain't fixed, don't broke, or if it ain't broke, don't fix it type of deal. If it ain't fixed, don't broke it.
Yep.
Hey, let's coin that term. It's a coining terms type of afternoon here at Nashville Barrel Company.
It's hard to remake the wheel, man.
Exactly. What are some brands that you love, and how did you get into whiskey? What was the brand that got you there?
Yeah. So, you know, coming out of the military and then working in retail for a decade, tasted a lot of things for a long time. And, you know, people ask me loaded questions, just like I talked about earlier. You know, what's your favorite, or this, and that. If there's an everyday product, I know I can walk into any retail liquor store.
Yeah, that's important these days. So it really is.
That's one thing. Like, you can't find everything everywhere. So for me, people ask that question. All I say is Evan Williams White Label. You can get a
bottle
half
and
gallon
bond
for under, you know, $30. You can get a 750 for under, you know, $15, $20. You can drink it neat. Your friends can pour Coke in it. whatever needs to happen. Like, if it needs to be mixed, people can mix it. You don't feel bad about it.
Yeah.
But you can also drink it straight, being 100 proof. But I know I can find that at most retail places.
I love a whiskey that does it all. We had artisanal distiller from Evan Williams, Jody Filiatro, on the show, and we just interviewed Connor O'Driscoll, too. So it was a lot of fun talking to
those.
Well,
that makes me feel
those,
good about what I said.
Those Heaven Hill guys, they're going to love hearing you say Evan Williams Bottle and Bond. That was on the first year we did this show, our budget pick of the year, because back then it was $14 for a 750. Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want with it.
Exactly.
Make a cocktail, shoot it, drink it, sip it,
I've
mix
actually
it.
Got it in my office. I kid you not. There's a I have a bottle in my office right now. Dead serious.
Yeah. Love hearing that. Evan Williams, I think still people sleeping on it. It's a great budget pick. It's available everywhere.
I 1,000% back that.
Nashville Barrel Company. I'm trying to think of the way I want to ask this question. What's next for Nashville Barrel Company? I think we might ask that one too.
Run through all my questions. Realistically, it's whatever the business tells us. You know, we're not just trying to grow and expand into every market. We're in over 20 markets distribution, full distribution wise now, and we've been waiting to get into markets because it's hard to feed all the mouths.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't just want to start bottling, you know, 6-year-old stuff just because I have somebody that needs 100 cases.
Yeah.
You know, so we've been very selective on how and when we bring on new partners or distributors from other states. So, I mean, growth is based on, you know, what we have going. I don't know. At the beginning of this, I said didn't plan to be here.
Yeah.
You know, at this point. So
again, thanks for your time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying, like, you know, this was never planned on, like, being in this building.
Yeah, Nashville Barrel Company.
When we first started, so... to say the future, I don't really know, but whatever the business tells us we need to do is what we will do.
Cool. I keep badgering Kelly. I'm like, when are you guys getting to Colorado?
Please mess with her as much as possible. And anybody listening, if you ever meet Kelly, ask her why she has such dirty shoes.
Yeah, such dirty shoes.
I don't know why they're so dirty.
I heard I need to text her about her dirty shoes.
I mean, she can clean them if she wants. She just doesn't. I don't know.
Well, this has been such an awesome experience to hang out with you and Mike and James Davenport, Mike Hines, co-owners and co-founders of Nashville Barrel Company, drinking delicious bourbon. I mean, all I got to say out there, if you're a listener and you haven't tried Nashville Barrel Company, find a way where there's, you know, I always say that where there's a will, there's a way, right? It's an old adage.
That's a fact.
But if you want to get yourself a bottle of Nashville Barrel Company, you can make it happen. If you're a whiskey enthusiast out there, you got to check Nashville Barrel Company out. Where can people find Nashville Barrel Company?
Oh, yeah. So, we're distributed in over 20 states.
Cool.
But if you go on our website, you can actually purchase online and be shipped to up to 40-plus states.
Cool.
Which we have a fulfillment partner. We don't do it because we legally can't. But we have a fulfillment partner that can get the bottles to you.
What's now, the website?
NashvilleBarrelCo.com.
Easy enough.
Yep,
Instagram, Facebook, all that too?
Yes, sir. Exactly. All the same. Nashville Barrel Co. But yeah, you can do that there. You can also, if you come to Nashville, I highly recommend coming and checking us out.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we always have more options. I mean, here at our main place, there's single barrels. We put orphans out daily. You know, it's a lot of fun, but we also have a tasting room right downtown. So if you can't make it 2 miles away from Broadway to go out in Broadway or night up, we're just 2 blocks up off of Church Street. So we have a tasting room down there. Anywhere in Nashville, we're around.
I think we're preparing ourselves, Rose and I, for a night on Broadway. That looks like we went there during the day, or we drove through it yesterday, and it was nuts then. I can't imagine how crazy it's going to be at night.
Oh, yeah. This morning it was nuts. Mike and I were over there. We had to go to the other location. The streets were packed.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. That was at 10:30. So now it's going to be, I mean, it's Nashville. The streets are going to be packed. There's people probably puking in trash cans. Like, there's no telling what's going on now.
Yeah. And I think if you're looking for Nashville Barrel Company too, start opening some bottles and starting conversations with people. You'd be amazed how far that goes when you drink whiskey and you hang out with people and you're passionate about this. It's been a dream of ours to run this podcast and do this as a passion project for the last 5 years. And I don't think we could have ever thought of being in places and meeting the people that we did. So it's been such an awesome experience to hang out with you, James and Mike, talk about Nashville Barrel Company, connect with Kelly again. It's small world after all sometimes, and we always say the best whiskeys are shared with friends. I think this Nashville Bourbon or Nashville Barrel Company experience exemplifies all of that.
Appreciate the kind words. That's what we want it to be. I mean, you couldn't have said it better.
Perfect. With that said, I think let's wrap up this episode. You know where to find us. We're All Things Whiskey Podcast. You can go to allthingswhiskeypodcast.com. Instagram's All Things Whiskey Podcast. Facebook, TikTok, All Things Whiskey. We're out there. We're doing stuff on social media. Probably not as much as we should be, but, you know, it's all what we're working towards here. And a couple shout-outs. Patreon.com/AllThingsWhiskeyPodcast. Shout-out to Adam and Tim, our newest patrons. We appreciate you guys supporting the podcast and doing some really cool stuff like this. We can't wait to continue our partnership with Nashville Barrel Company, making incredible whiskey here out of Tennessee. That's all I got to say. Thank you so much, James Davenport, Mike Hines, for joining the show today.
Mike, thank you. Appreciate you coming out and spending some time with us.
With that said, I'm your host, Mike Outcault, signing off. Keep drinking tasty whiskeys. Go check out Nashville Barrel Company. This has been awesome. Have a great day.